This is Alive with Joseph.
Welcome to church. Hallelujah. Let's get into the book of Matthew chapter 14. And let's look at what the Lord has to say to us from verse 28 to 30. I read, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, God, save me. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Amen. Everybody reaches a breaking point, but God has constructed the believer whereby when you and I get to a breaking point, instead of us breaking just like the palm tree, we bend. Instead of us breaking just like the palm tree, we bend. So we've been looking at a series I titled, I Will Not Break. And this morning, I'll be giving you the second key. Last week, Sunday, I gave you the first key to not breaking. And the first key was stubborn faith. So this morning, we'll be looking at the second key to a life that cannot be easily broken. And that key we're looking at this morning is what I titled stubborn focus. Last week, we looked at stubborn faith. This week, we're looking at stubborn focus. You know, who can forget Oscarín Masiluku's goal against Orlando Pirates, which is my favorite team. As I say this, I say it with a heavy heart. But it's fine, you know. That's what teaching does. You just have to find everything to illustrate your point, even when it hurts you. Okay, Oscarín's goal against Orlando Pirates, he is the goalkeeper of Baroka FC, you know, and 96th minute, this young man broke the heart of millions of people. May God have mercy on him. He aimed that goal, you know, and that goal gave to them the much needed draw for their team to be able to, you know, survive. Now, when you look at that game, in the last 6 minutes of the game, you will discover that our players were still the same set of players. We were still playing on the same field. We did not lose our coach. Neither did they lose their coach. The number of players on the field were still even and equal. But we drew that game because we lost something else that was not visible to the optic eyes. Sometimes you may be losing in one area because you are losing in another area. And the area you might be losing in might not necessarily be the area you are actually losing in. The area you are losing in might not necessarily be the one that you're seeing with your optic eyes. So hear this, friends. Sometimes the area where the loss shows up might actually not be the area you are losing in. Because I believe Orlando Pirates drew that game because they lost their focus in those few seconds. The last 6 minutes, which was given to them, and the few seconds when they, was it a free kick or a corner kick, whatever it was that was given to them, the game got tensed, it got tight, it was crunch time, the pressure was too much. And because of pressure, they lost focus. I pray for you. May you not lose focus because of pressure in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. May pressure not make you lose focus in the name of Jesus. So they lost focus because of pressure. It was tense. It was tight. It was crunch time. The pressure was too much. And because of pressure, they lost focus. I declare again over you, because of pressure, may you not lose focus in the name of Jesus. I've come to realize that it is much more difficult for anyone to execute when they are under pressure than when they are not under pressure. It is easier to execute in the seasons when everything is cool, calm, and collected. It is much more difficult for you to execute when the pressure is there, when you are under pressure. And so this morning, I want you to understand that there are places where you are losing, you could be winning. There are places where you are losing right now, you could be winning. And you are losing not because you don't have the talent. You are losing not because the skill is not there, not because the grace is not there, not because the anointing and the mantle or ability is not there. There are places where you are losing right now, and yet you could be winning, and you're losing because or you don't have focus. You are losing simply because you do not have focus. And sometimes the difference between a breakdown and a breakthrough is focus. There are sometimes, as a believer, you are losing grounds, not because the grace of God is not on your life, not because, you know, you are not anointed for it, not because the mantle of heaven is not upon you. You are losing ground simply because you are not focused enough. And Satan understands this. That is why every day he is scheming, trying to rob you of the life that God has, you know, intended for you to live. And the only way he knows he can do that is by causing you to lose focus, by robbing you of your focus. That is the only way the devil can succeed in making you lose the life that God has intended for you to live. And I pray for you, may you not lose the life God has intended for you to live in the name of Jesus. May you not lose it in the name of Jesus. I pray for you this morning, the life that God has intended for you to live, may you live it to the fullest in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning if you believe it. You cannot make progress in life when you are not focused. You cannot advance when you are not focused. You cannot produce anything of worth, anything meaningful when you are not focused. Your talent is at the mercy of your focus. Your skill is at the mercy of your focus. Your anointing is at the mercy of your focus. Your grace and the mantle of God upon your life is at the mercy of your focus. That is to say, a life that will not be easily broken will require a brutal focus. It will require a stubborn focus. And I pray for you, may your life not be broken in the name of Jesus. So when you look at our text this morning, it shows us some things that you and I can glean wisdom from. And that story in our text in Matthew chapter 14, it exposes us to an incident between Peter and Jesus. Two men who walked on water, but one of them walked on water longer than the other. It shows us two men in the history of mankind, in the history of the Bible, who walked on water. These two men walked on water. One walked on water long term. The other one walked on water short term. What was the difference between these two men who walked on water? What was the difference? Now, the difference was not the water. The difference was not the strength of their legs. The difference was their focus. The difference was their focus. The difference, why, you know, the difference between these two men who walked on water, the difference was their focus. The difference was their focus. Now, when you look at that story very well, the water was the same. Peter didn't lose his two legs. He still has the same two legs like Jesus had. But the difference was their focus. The Bible said to us that Peter was on the boat with the other disciples. He was there chilling. And Jesus had asked them to go ahead of him so that they can dismiss the crowd after they had finished the crusade. So that he can dismiss the crowd. And when he finished dismissing the crowd, he did something else. He went to pray. We went to pray. And after praying, then he started walking towards them on water. He went to pray. After praying, he started walking towards them on water. Now, they were busy rowing, sailing, extending energy, and Jesus, after praying, was walking towards them. He was walking on what they were extending energy in. He was walking on what they were rowing and laboring with. He was walking on what they were exhausting themselves on. That is to say that Jesus, he went to pray. By the time he finished praying, what they had gone ahead of him to go and do, he still was able to catch up with them, and yet was not using up the same energy that they were using. What does that say to us? That tells us that prayer gives you an advantage. Prayer gives you an advantage. Prayer enables you to achieve much more than those who are not praying. Prayer helps you to get what those who are busy using their human strength and energy cannot be able to get, whilst they were depending on their own willpower. Through prayers, Jesus was depending on God's ability to carry him. So they were rowing, they were moving, they were not going too fast, but Jesus, from prayer, he walked on water and overcame what they couldn't overcome. I declare over you, on the wings of the prayers that goes on in this house, may you overcome in the name of Jesus. I say, may you overcome in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So Peter is in the boat and also not complaining about the boat. But at the same time, he sees Jesus walking on water. Him seeing Jesus walking on water was him being exposed to someone who is walking on water. He was not complaining. He was in the boat with the same with all the other disciples, and he sees Jesus walking on water. Actually, all of them saw Jesus walking on water. This is it, friends. Exposure creates an appetite. That exposure created in Peter an appetite to want to do something that he didn't know was possible until he was exposed to it. Until he was exposed to exposure creates an appetite. That is why you and I must be careful on what we expose ourselves to. Exposure creates an appetite. Exposure creates an appetite. There are some things you will not have an appetite for until you are exposed to it, until there is an unhealthy exposure to it. Exposure creates an appetite. What is it that have stirred up an appetite in you that you were exposed to, that you were not supposed to be exposed to? And right now, it has created an appetite in you. Exposure creates an appetite. Can I ask you again this morning, how are you managing your exposure? Why do you think God is allowing you to see the things that is allowing you to see? How are you managing what God sends to awaken you out of apathy? How are you managing all of that? How are you responding to what God is sending to make you pursue what he has for you and not what he has for other people? Hear this, friends. The adversary wants to use your exposure against you. He wants to use your exposure against you. He wants to use your exposure to what is happening in the life of other people to intimidate you. Whilst God wants to use your exposure to what is happening in the life of other people to inspire you. God wants to use exposure to inspire you. The adversary wants to use exposure to intimidate you. Hear this, friends. There are some things God allows you to see because he wants you to know that it is possible. So he allows you to see it because he wants you to know that it is possible. He wants you to know that with God, all things are possible. He wants you to know that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think of. So he exposes you to them. But the question I will ask you this morning is, how are you stewarding your exposure? How are you responding to those exposure? Because some people, they are not managing their exposure well. And that is why their exposure leads them to jealousy. Their exposure leads them to jealousy. Do you know that jealousy is the mismanagement of exposure? Because in jealousy, the object or the emotion called jealousy is the object of the emotion called jealousy is another person. That is to say, if you don't want them to have it. The object, you see a sister exposed to being married, you are jealous because you know you feel that since I'm single, she too must remain single. You see a brother doing well, giving testimony of what God is doing in their life and how God is helping their business to grow. You know, you get jealous because why? You feel that they shouldn't be having it. Why? The object of the emotion called jealousy is always another person. And the difference between jealousy and inspiration is, jealousy is another person. Inspiration is yourself. So with jealousy, if you don't want it, with jealousy, it is that you don't want the person to have it. With inspiration, it is that I have seen you having it. Me seeing you having it has inspired me to pursue what I believe that God wants me to have for myself. I see you have it, it inspired me to pursue. I see you have it, inspire. I see a sister get married, it inspired me to believe God for the man that he has prepared for me. I see a brother get married, it inspired me to believe God for the wife that he has prepared for me. I see a brother's business doing well, it inspires me to believe God that my own business as well will do well. It's just a matter of time. So exposure is designed to create inspiration. But if you do not steward your exposure well, it will create jealousy. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So it inspires you to pursue what God has for you. I don't want what God has for you, but me seeing you walking in what God has for you has inspired me to want to walk in what God has for me, not actually in what God has for you. I see what God is doing in your life. It inspires me to desire to want to walk in what God has for me and not for you. Listen, Peter would never have asked to walk on water if he didn't see Jesus do it. And God will always send some things your way to awaken you, to stir up your faith, to stimulate you, to stir up something in you so that you can pursue what he has called you for and receive what he has prepared for. I pray for you today. May your faith be woken up in the name of Jesus. I say, may your faith be stirred up to pursue after what God has for you in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. And I don't know what this is for, but I perceive in my spirit, it is time for you to get out of that boat in the name of Jesus. I say it is time for you to walk on water in the name of Jesus. I say it is time for you to come out of that boat and walk on water. You have been exposed to too many things. Your faith is stirred up. It is time now for you to take that step of faith in the name of Jesus. And I declare you will step out of the boat in the name of Jesus. I say you will step out of the boat in the name of Jesus. I declare step out of the boat in the name of Jesus. You're not built for the boat. It is time for you to come out of the boat. That boat no longer fits you. You have suffered enough in that boat. And I decree and I declare, you will no longer settle for a life, for the boat life in the name of Jesus. There were 12 of them exposed, but only one decided to step out in faith. They were all exposed to Jesus walking on water. What does the boat represent? The boat represents normal. The boat represents ordinary. The boat represents the status quo. But it is time for you and I to step into something that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it been conceived by the heart of any man. In the name of Jesus, thunder, I am out of the boat. Thunder, I am out of the boat. Say amen to that. So how are you managing your exposure? And this is how to manage your exposure. Admire without desire. Admire. There's nothing wrong in admiring. Admire without desire. I admire too many things, but I don't desire. Admire without desire. The other day, I and my daughter, Danielle, we were driving. That was on Friday or so. We were driving, and we saw the Bentley. I don't know what it's called. Is it Bentley or something like that? You know, and I saw, I like that car. As the car drove past, I said, ha! I went, Danielle, see? She saw. But my friend, I don't desire it. I admired it. Because if I desire it, I will want to do everything to get it. So how do you manage your exposure? Admire without desire. Admire what God is doing, but don't desire. It's not for you. Hallelujah. Admire what God is doing for someone else, but I don't desire what God is doing. I desire what God has for me. So admire what God is doing in the life of someone else. Desire what God has for you. Are you hearing me? Admire what God is doing for someone else, but desire what God has for you. Listen, friends, you don't need someone else's blessing to make you happy. Why? Because what God has in store for you will be enough for you. And if you believe that, say amen. Give Jesus praise this morning. So in our text, Matthew chapter 14, when you look at verse 28, the Bible said, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter didn't see Jesus walk on water and just jumped out. He didn't try to walk on water because he saw Jesus. No, he asked, if it is you, ask me to come. He didn't try to walk on the water without a word, a proceeding word given to him. If it is you, ask me to come. The challenge of our time is some people jump out of the boat because they see somebody else walking on water. God might have told them to walk on water, but did he ask you to walk on water? God told them to leave their job, start a business. Did God tell you to leave your job and start a business? So could it be that for you, God is saying, hold on to your job and do that business as a side hustle? Because he knows that you don't have the capacity. to manage the pressure that comes from business and paying bills. So he tells you, stay on your job. Stay on your 5 to 9 job. Oh, is it 5 to 9? Or 9 to 5, sorry. Stay on your 9 to 5 job. Stay there. Stay put. Give it your all. That extra income you need to make, do it as a side hustle. There are multiple streams of income, but let it be as a side hustle, because God knows that if you leave your job, you will not be able to survive the pressures of business. I gave a testimony of a sister, you know, some years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, who is in this church, but now she has relocated through the promotion God gave her. And she came to me and said to me, you know, she came to me to want to ask me for an advice. And she came and I said that, you know, she was already doing a business. She started a new business into properties and all of those things. And she got so excited about the business and said, you know, she wants to resign from her job. You know how we plan what our pension will do, but they never get to do all of that. And he planned, you know, that by the time I get my pension, it was quite a long sum. She works for the government. So, you know, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. After she finished speaking, I asked her, if you start this business you want to start, will it be next month, will this business be able to pay your salary times 2? Not even once, no, times 2. Because the rule of business is, if it cannot take care of, if you're working, not those who are not working, if you're working, you're already working and you start a business and you want to leave the business, the rule is you must check, can that business pay your salary times 2? If that business cannot pay your salary times 2, stay on your job. The business is a side hustle. That's free of charge I'm giving you now. It's a side hustle. Don't leave your job. As long as it cannot pay your salary times 2. Because the truth is, by the time the month comes to an end, the pressure you have put on your salary will come. You think that salary is not good, stop receiving it for 1 month. You will understand. So I said, will he pay yours? She said, no, not really, not in the first 6-1 year. I said, then what happens? You're looking at the pension. I said, any money that is not multiplying will finish. If you have 1,000 and remove 1 rand, it's now 999 rands. It's no longer 1,000. I said, okay, let's move a bit. I said, okay, your expenses in a month, can you give me a breakdown of your expenses? She gave me her child. She has an amazing child, a unique child. And the child bill alone, both medical, both in school and everything, is about 30,000 rands she pays for the child to take care of the child needs. I said, will this business, apart from other needs she mentioned, only the child was there. I said, will you be able to get this next month to pay for this child? She said, no. I said, that's a side hustle. Don't leave your job. And she, thank God, she listened. And still 2 months later, she even got a promotion. And the last time I checked, she's no longer doing the business. And I'm serious, she's no longer doing the business because she communicates with me often. She's no longer doing the business. She could have left her job, got into that business, got into trouble, got into crisis. Guess what? She will blame God. Admire without desire. So Peter didn't just walk on water. God gave him a word. God gave him a word. The challenge is many people are jumping out of the boat because they see someone else jump out of the boat. God, tell them to leave their job. Did he ask you to leave your job? Could it be that God knows that you have not built, you know, you are not built to be able to manage the pressures of business? Whereas the other person has built, they are built in a way whereby they can function better with their backs against the wall. So the path God has for them is not the path he has for you. Hear me, friends. Never leave the boat until God says come. Never say I do until God says come. I don't care if you went to a wedding and they were prophesied over you by the minister of the day who was officiating the wedding. And even when the bride threw the flower and you know you were positioned, the flower just landed on you, bam. And they say you are the one. I don't care what it is. If God have not said come, don't do it. Don't say I do. Because that might be the last I do you say in your entire life. Because when the chips are down, those who threw the flower will not be there. Neither will those who prophesied it. The only thing that can sustain you is the word you receive from God. Even if you feel it is your time, never go until God says come. Don't get out of the boat unless God is sending you, or sending for you rather. Jesus sent for Peter. He said to Peter, come. He said to Peter, come. And the Bible recorded that Peter heeded to the call, stepped out of the boat. And the Bible said in verse 9, in verse 29 of that scripture, NIV translation, Peter stepped out of the boat and walked towards Jesus. He stepped out of the boat, walked towards Jesus. That is focus. He stepped out of the boat, walked towards the one who asked him to come. So if for him to walk towards him, there was no way I can be walking towards Michael and I'm looking somewhere else. If I'm walking towards Michael, my eyes have to be on Michael. So his eyes was on Jesus. His focus was on Jesus as he walked towards Jesus. He walked toward, that is to say, as long as his focus was on Jesus, he was able to walk on top of the water. But verse 30 tells us this. But when he saw the wind, he removed his eyes from Jesus. He saw the wind. He was afraid, beginning to sing. He cried out, Lord, save me. When he saw the wind, two things happened to Peter. Number one, he was afraid. Listen, friends, fear is always the forerunner to failure. Where fear is, faith is not. Number two, he began to sink. Sinking happens when fear arrives. You cannot sink if you're in faith. Sinking only happens when fear arrives. And I pray for you, whatever fear has been stirred up in your heart and you are sinking in business, sinking in marriage, sinking in your career, today I declare, be delivered in the name of Jesus. I say, be delivered in the name of Jesus. Peter lost his balance because Peter lost his focus. Peter didn't lose vision. He could still see. What Peter lost was focus, not vision. He lost his balance because he lost focus. There are many of you who have not lost your vision, but you have lost your focus. The attack to your vision is broken focus. Peter lost focus because he was looking at the wrong thing. Some people are not stepping into their vision, not because they don't have a vision, but they are not stepping into their vision because they don't realize that vision requires focus. Vision requires focus. Many have lost vision because they lost focus. And my prayer every day for myself, I don't know about you, is I pray, God, keep me focused. May nothing distract me. May help me to overcome distractions, because for the vision to continuously be fresh, I must remain focused. There are too many distractions. There are too many distractions. The vision of your business, for it to remain, you know, fresh and on fire, there must be focus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So Peter started looking at the wind. He started looking at the threat more than he was looking at Jesus. Friends, hear this. Do you know that you do not see the wind with your optic eyes, but you can see what the wind is affecting? So Peter started seeing the wind of their gossip affecting how people treat him. He started seeing, because when people gossip about you, one of the things that happened is their attitude changed. Everybody, those they have gossiped to about you, their attitude changed, even if they don't know if it's true or not. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning, please. That's why I and Cordelia, we guard against gossip, because we want to maintain a good attitude towards everybody. So Peter started seeing. He started seeing the wind of their gossip. Started seeing the wind of their gang-up. He started seeing the wind of the business decline. He started seeing the wind of his biological clock. And yet, he was not married yet. He started seeing all of that. He started seeing how the wind of how the economy is not doing too well. The interest rate. Oh, the tariffs from America. How it has kicked in. And how jobs are. He started seeing the wind. All of this he was seeing made him to lose focus. I don't know which wind you are seeing. I prophesy, may that wind not break your focus in the name of Jesus. I say your focus will not be broken by any wind in the name of Jesus. Peter was focused on the wrong thing. Friends, if you're going to live a life that is not easily broken, then you will have to have a brutal and stubborn focus. Child of God, you cannot win looking at the wind. You cannot win looking at the wind. You cannot win looking at the wind. You cannot win, I repeat, looking at the wind. Some of you right now, you are breaking. Not because you don't have faith.
Not because you are not anointed. Not because you don't have vision. Not because the grace of God is not available. Not because the mercy of God is not there. You are breaking at your breaking point because you lack focus. Understand, focus helps you keep your faith. Focus helps you keep your faith. You can be full of faith today and be empty of it tomorrow. And it is simply because it is based on how you feed it and what you are focusing on. You can be full of faith today, be empty tomorrow. Why? How you feed it and what you are focusing on. Hallelujah. So my question to you this morning is, what are you focusing on the most? Because if you're focusing more on what is happening around you than the good news of the gospel, then you are sinking without you knowing it. Are you focusing more on their WhatsApp status more than you're focusing on Jesus? If you are, then you are sinking. Are you focusing on their Facebook posts more than you're focusing on scriptures? If you are, then you are sinking. Are you focusing more on the words of people than the word of God? If you are, then you are sinking. Whatever you're focusing on, are you focusing on what they say and didn't say? If you are, then you are sinking. Leave people, let them write whatever they want to write. Let them say whatever they want to say. What are you focusing most on? What are you focusing most on? Hear this, friends. Your life follows your eyes. Your life follows your eyes. Your mood follows your eyes. Your appetite follows your eyes. Your attitude follows your eyes. Your peace follows your eyes. Your joy follows your eyes. Do you know, my late mom would tell me that you eat with your eyes first before the food enters your mouth. The restaurants understand that. That is why restaurants, they take the time to take good picture of the food. And by the time the food arrives, it is completely opposite of what is in the picture. Because they know that your eyes follows, your appetite follows your eyes rather. So they take the time to create a very good picture, image of the food. So by the time the food arrives, you look at the steak in the picture. The steak is like it fell from heaven with angels delivering it with, wood, bright wood from heaven. And the matches came from heaven. And they lit the thing and the meat is looking. You are feeling like, man, this is exactly what I want. By the time the steak arrives in your plate, it's like steak from Maraba starts. You're asking, this steak and this one, they are not the same. I've had an experience some years ago with one restaurant around the town. Amen. And we went to our breakfast and I ordered for, toasted chicken mayo and I wanted the fries, which was sweet potato fries. On the paper, it looks so good. By the time the thing arrived, the fries was bended. I said, no. I told the guy, come back here. No. I was honestly speaking, I was hurt. I said, come back here. This is not the same. Can't you see this? Can't you see that? I'm sure the guy was in his heart. He said, you're a stupid person. What makes you think that what is on the paper is going to be on your plate? Because your eyes, your appetite follows your eyes. Your mood follows your eyes. Your desire follows your eyes. So what are you exposed to? Have you noticed there are things you see, you change mood. There are things you see, you change attitude. There are things you see, your peace automatically leaves you. There are things you see, your joy evaporates. I pray for you. May your eyes not deceive you in the name of Jesus. I say, may your eyes not deceive you in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Therefore, what is focus? As I close somewhere here, what is focus? Focus is simply selective attention. It means in every season, you must be selective on what you give your attention to. Why? Because your attention affects your attitude, and your attitude impacts upon your altitude. You have to be selective on what you give your attention to, because you cannot have negative intakes with positive outcomes.
You cannot have negative intakes with positive outcomes. Paul, speaking to the Philippian church, he said to them in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, NIV translation, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." He said to them, make a conscious decision to keep your attention away from the things that are breaking your focus. That's what he was simply saying in summary. Make a conscious decision to keep your attention away from the things that are breaking your focus. That is, as long as Peter looked to Jesus, he was walking on water. Hear me, friends. When the wind is blowing, you cannot look at what you normally look at. When the wind is blowing, you cannot look at what you normally look at. You cannot handle storms the way you handle your norms. You cannot. You cannot handle your storms the way you handle your norms. Many believers get into a storm and they are doing the same thing they do when things are normal, and they are expecting not to drown in the midst of the storm. You cannot do the same thing you're doing when things are normal when you are in a storm. You cannot. You cannot. And that's why many are drowning. That's why many are breaking. That's why many are not bending. They are breaking. No one in their right senses will do the same thing they are doing when they are walking and when they are swimming. You can't do the same thing when you are walking and when you are swimming. No. You cannot do the same thing, or else you will drown. You will drown in the swimming pool. You will drown in the river. When you are in a storm, there are some things you have to pull back on. There are some things you will need to turn off when you are in a storm. There are some things you will need to be more selective on, more strategic on, more set apart. You need to be more consecrated. Why? Because you cannot handle a storm the way you handle your normal life. You cannot. And that is why many are breaking. Many at the breaking point, they are breaking, they are not bending, because they are trying to handle their storm the way they handle their normal life. And it cannot work that way. If you see how Peter handled the storm, when he was in the boat, he didn't scream, "Jesus, save me." But when the storm came, he handled it different. He screamed, "Jesus, save me." And there are three things I see in this text, in our text, Matthew chapter 14, that can help us develop brutal and stubborn focus. I will give them to you quickly. And these things, we're learning them from Jesus, not necessarily from Peter. If you're going to have brutal and stubborn focus, you must have a life that is given to prayer. In that text, you will notice before Jesus walked on water, he went to pray. And after praying, he walked towards them on water. He went to pray. He dismissed the crowd. After the crusade, he took himself, went to a place set apart, prayed before coming to them. You cannot develop stubborn focus without giving your life to prayer. A life that is given to prayer. So this is it. Peter was trying to do in public what Jesus did without doing in private what Jesus has done. Peter was trying to do in public what was doing in public, walking on water. And without doing what Jesus had done in private, what was it? Jesus prayed and Peter had not prayed. Before Jesus walked on water, he prayed. Many people think that prayer is something we must do occasionally or do when we are comfortable. But prayer helps you and I to look unto Jesus. Prayer reminds us that you are nothing without him. Prayer gives you the advantage. It gives you supernatural stamina that you require and need to endure the wind. You cannot endure the wind with normal human strength. The prayer closet is your incubation room. The prayer closet is your baking room. It changes you from a lamb to a lion. You cannot be focused without prayer. Number two, what did he do? Number two, know what easily distracts you. Know what easily distracts you. You cannot develop stubborn faith and stubborn focus without you knowing what easily distracts you. It was the wind that took Peter's focus away. You must identify what takes your focus. You must know what robs you of your faith, what robs you of your emotional stability. Stay away from that. There are some things you will not pray away if you just stay away. There are some things you will not have to pray away if you just stay away. There are some things, I repeat, you will not have to pray away if you just stay away. Stay away. Know what distracts you to stay away from it. Do you know that, what is killing some people is because of what they do not know? Ignorance. Do you know what is killing you? Because if you don't know what easily distracts you, you cannot be stubbornly focused. Number three, protect yourself.
There are some things you cannot eliminate. So you must know how to protect yourself from those things. Know how to insulate yourself. How can you insulate yourself between that thing and between them? Between yourself and that thing and between yourself and them. Because understand that your movement forward is tied to your focus. Your movement forward is tied to your focus. Your movement forward is tied to your focus. Say amen to that. So this is it, friends. Stubborn focus is the only way you remain bendable without breaking when you are at a breaking point. Give Jesus praise this morning. Let's rise on our feet and let's go home. The key to not breaking. Number one, stubborn faith. Number two, stubborn focus. And how do you develop them? Give your life to prayers. Give your life to prayers. Know what easily distracts you. Protect yourself. Lift your voice in thanksgiving.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.